Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue a message I started this week on the seven spirits of God. And just by way of quick review, we were referring to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. This is referring to Jesus. Let me read verse 1. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. This is his ancestry. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now, we know the anointing that Jesus had was a ministry of the Holy Spirit without measure. He had the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily in him. That's what Colossians 1:19 says. And so he ministered in the Holy Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit without measure and in perfection, the various graces and gifts and operations of the Spirit of God. Jesus was anointed to do the works that His Father commissioned him to do. And so we have been anointed by God. He said, preach the gospel to all nations. And Paul specifically is advising Christians, the Corinthian church as such, but I believe it's not just dated, it's for all the entire New Testament time. The acts of the apostles are really the acts of the Holy Spirit and the nine gifts of the Spirit that Paul lists in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, talks about the power gifts, the vocal gifts, and the knowing gifts. And why would God desire for his people to be empowered with the Holy Spirit and with the operation of the spiritual gifts? Because we have been commissioned, as Jesus said, the works that I do and even greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. And so we have, as the body of Christ, not the fullness of the Spirit, but as the Holy Spirit wills, we are given understanding in supernatural ways of perhaps some future event or the various capacities of the Holy Spirit, which minister to the whole man. And as I was sharing, the seven spirits of the Lord that are ministered in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, correspond in reference, if you will, to the very gifts of the Spirit. For example, when it talks about the Spirit of the Lord, that's the first one listed in Isaiah 11, 2. That refers to the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity in fullness. In other words, that blessed person, that third person of the Trinity, has a function and a purpose to be accurate and exact in the administration of his government and the exercise of the power committed to him. And what's the purpose? Well, it's to administer the affairs of God's kingdom, the spiritual kingdom of God, for the welfare of God's people and for the glory of God. And so we looked at the spirit of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Understanding means insight and discerning. Discernment, I guess you could say, if you want a noun for that. And that refers to the revelational gifts of discerning of spirits, whether to know something is of God, of the enemy, or of flesh, wisdom and knowledge. And the spirit of counsel, that refers to the vocal gifts, if you will, the tongues, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. So God has given us the Holy Spirit, and what the same way that Jesus ministered, we also have in a limited capacity because we're just members individual, to each one is given the ability to prophesy. Doesn't Paul talk about that? And, you know, the power gifts of the Spirit, we don't all have the same gifts. Someone may move in faith or have gifts of healing or working of miracles, but it's the same Spirit that works all in all. So praise God. Why am I sharing this? Because we need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at that seventh Spirit of the Lord, which is the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. That's the very last one mentioned in Isaiah 11 and 2. And that, this is important now, this gives perfection and balance and harmony to all of the above gifts, the might, the knowledge, the spirit of counsel. You have to have a right spirit, if you will. And again, it's almost a circular movement. We have to have piety, reverence of the Lord, but the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. So it is God's empowering that he wishes to administer to his people. Now remember, it is important that we have a right heart, a right spirit. It says the eyes of the Lord rove to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to prove himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. And obviously, it's the heart that God is concerned about. There's a very sobering scripture found in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 22. Jesus says, "Not everyone that says, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father." Remember, there are those who will stand before God and say, "Well, oh, we prophesied in your name. We've cast out devils in thy name. We've done many wonderful works." Well, if their heart was not right, then that's Jesus. It's not a good place to be in. And so what is the result of the seventh spirit? That spirit of the fear of the Lord? Well, to do that, we have to read the following verses of chapter 11 of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. This is what these seven spirits will produce and did produce in Jesus, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. You see, again, working with the heart of man. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid. Basically, it goes from who Jesus is, his birth, out of the rod, out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. It's talking about Jesus, his earthly ministry, and it goes on. In verse 4, it's he'll smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. That takes us right to the end. That talks about the return of the Lord and God's judgment upon the rebellious and wicked who would not acknowledge him. And yet, it is righteousness and it is faithfulness that is the aspect of his very being, his very person. And so the fear of the Lord, beloved, that is that wisdom that comes will not judge carnally after natural ears or eyes, but will judge righteously and reprove with equity. How? Why? By the law or the word of the Lord. He will execute judgment. What is, you know, John saw the sword of the Spirit coming out of his mouth. That is the word of God, the scepter, the word of his mouth. And so his delight will be obedience to the Lord. And so that is true for us. So how can we, where am I going with all this? Well, beloved, there is a prophetic significance to this. And to understand, let's turn to the book of Malachi. And in that fourth chapter, It talks about the day of the Lord, or judgment, which is rapidly approaching upon Jesus' return before he comes back. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. And then, you know, I just can't stop reading. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for Israel, and with the statutes and judgment. Behold, I send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And ye shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So he's talking about the day of judgment. He's talking about the prophet Elijah. That's the spirit of power. That's the spirit of the Holy Spirit with might, working miracles. It's the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 6, the Amplified says, and he shall turn and reconcile the hearts of the estranged fathers to the ungodly children, and the hearts of the rebellious children to the piety of their fathers. And this basically, beloved, what it's talking about is a reconciliation produced by godly repentance. Praise God. And so God is bringing healing and restoration to his people. You know, Malachi 4:2 says, ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Another translation says, you will go forth and leap for joy as calves or young bullocks loosed from yokes, let loose from the stall, going out to pasture. Beloved, this is what God is going to do in behalf of his people. That's why the Holy Spirit, the sevenfold Spirit of God, is being released into the earth, that he can work this work in the people of God, and he can bring forth judgment and the return of Christ, because that Jesus' approach is rapidly coming, drawing nigh. The signs of the end are, we are in the end times, beloved. And so we must do all that we can do, being obedient, even as Jesus was. He was our example. Praise God. Well, I must bring this broadcast to a close, and we'll conclude, Lord willing, this message on tomorrow's broadcast. I invite you to write, share your prayer requests, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.